IBM Podcast.
Hello, this is Steve Schoaf, and this is an IBM podcast. Those of us who have witnessed the development of PLM over the last three decades have seen the technology grow from 2D drafting packages to sophisticated 3D engineering design, creation, and management suites. However, the problem being addressed by PLM hasn't changed all that much. The problem is designing complex products. But the manner in which products are designed has changed drastically. No single company designs the entire product. Rather, development partners and suppliers all participate in the design. PLM has been able to accommodate the expanding scope of product development, but has not been able to integrate well with other business systems, like enterprise resource planning or customer relationship management. Until now, IBM has recently announced a product development integration framework, which extends the value of PLM beyond engineering throughout the entire value chain. Here to tell us more about the product development integration framework is my special guest today, Mr. John Soiring. John is the Worldwide Vice President of Solutions and Software for IBM. He provides global business leadership for a multi-billion dollar annual revenue portion of the IBM software business. This role includes functional leadership for strategy, research and development, marketing and sales, business development, product support, and services related to multiple IBM offerings. So, John, what are some of these pressures that are driving manufacturing companies to change the way that they develop products?
Well, first of all, Steve, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk with you and those who are listening to this podcast. We've had the chance during the last several years to meet with C-level executives and mid-level managers and the IT architects and business architects of many companies around the world in many different industries. In fact, we've interviewed more than 800 CEOs to gain their perspective on their business and what kind of problems that they're facing. And it's really interesting the changes that have occurred recently. During the first 5 years of this millennium, CEOs and the other leaders in the business have been very focused on reducing the cost of their operations and expenses within their businesses. And there's been a shift over the past year. And the number one priority right now for CEOs is innovation. And that innovation really is centered around innovation that applies to the business model of their enterprise and it applies to innovation associated with the business processes within that enterprise. The reason for the change is, one, financial pressures. CEOs just don't feel that they can squeeze additional costs or expense out if they keep running the business as they are, so they will feel they need to change their business. It could be a change to the business model where, for example, some of the parts of the manufacturing process are outsourced to other companies. It may mean taking advantage of core competencies that various companies around the world can provide to their particular enterprise and operate in a collaborative fashion with them. They recognize that they have cost pressures such as warranty costs are eroding their profit lines, and a focus on quality through the entire life cycle of the process from design to development to manufacturing and ongoing maintenance and support means they can help improve their warranty cost position. And they've got some really tough competition because some of their competitors are changing, and the choice is, are they going to be in a position to react to the changes made by others, or are they going to be the ones who are going to be the leaders in the industry and cause their competitors to have to change? So all of those reasons are reasons a variety of different companies in many industries, including the manufacturing industries of automotive manufacturing, aerospace and defense, and electronics, are looking to change their businesses.
So, John, these sound like some pretty serious challenges being faced by manufacturers today. What can they do to begin to try to start addressing some of these challenges?
What we found working with a large number of companies already is that different companies have different starting points. One very common starting point is how to gain better collaboration or more effective and more efficient collaboration between the people involved in a project. And the change that we often recommend to these companies is to employ collaboration software that enables the workflow of human beings to be better coordinated and to be more efficient and ultimately more effective in what they deliver. This often involves installing a product like WebSphere Portal and linking in multiple applications that a particular user can have. What's very important about the use of a portal, though, is that each individual worker within the enterprise that's part of an overall business process is able to gain a view to the information and gain access to the application services that they need for their particular job and have direct connections with the people whom they depend on and who depend on them to perform certain tasks. Another entry point to a project may be modifying a business process. Very often what we'll do on a project is analyze a current process. Ideally, they would even document the current process and model that process using a tool like the WebSphere Business Modeler, which can enable, once modeled, to run simulations on that process. As the simulations are run, the business analyst, can do a what-if analysis by changing various elements of the business process or redirecting how the work is flowing and rerun a simulation to see what the effect is. How long does it take a business transaction to flow through the process on average? What's the cost of the transaction going through? How many business transactions can they process per hour or per day or per month? And once they find the future state of a business process they'd like to be able to implement, what we're able to do then is take all the various business services, whether they're provided by automation through software or if they're provided by human workflow or humans performing a task, and re-choreograph the overall flow of those business services to deliver a more efficient and a more effective business process. One example of a process we worked on with one company is their particular business transactions, on average, were taking 10 days to get through their business process. We modeled a future state of that process and found that we could get the transactions down to about 5 days. And that resulted in significant operational savings for the company, dropping a large amount of money annually to the bottom line of that particular enterprise. A third tool and a third approach that we've often used is through the better use of information of gaining insight into the business process. Very often, companies have multiple repositories, if they have them, of gathering information. Products could be represented in a large number of different databases, making it very complex for the leaders of a business to have a good, consistent view of a product through its life cycle, from design through manufacturing, through distribution, and even out to the customer for service and support. We found that in a large percentage of the companies, some had 15 or more different databases that needed to be brought together. So an approach that's frequently used with very good results is to harmonize the various sources of information through something that we refer to as master data management, both for the views of humans involved and the views of the products that are being produced by these particular companies. A second approach relative to information is gathering real-time information through the process so we can gain insight into the business process, and through insight we can identify opportunities to further improve that business process, either to make it more efficient or to make the business process more effective.
So John, that's very interesting. But I'm wondering, how do these companies make these sorts of changes, particularly with the pressures that they're under, like time to market and the need to innovate and to operate within cost constraints? They certainly can't just shut down their business and make all these changes and then start back up again. They have to make the changes as they're in operation, but at the pace they're going, it would kind of be like trying to change four tires on a race car right in the middle of the race without stopping.
Steve, you're absolutely right. It is like changing the tires of a car that's out on a race course. Businesses just can't afford to stop their business processes. In today's world, many of these business processes are operating 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And that's why we needed to find a methodology, which we refer to as a service-oriented architecture, to enable that change.
John, what is the Product Development Integration Framework, or PDIF, and does it utilize this service-oriented architecture?
The Product Development Integration Framework is an IBM approach supported by assets from both IBM and our business partners, And it applies a design and implementation approach called a service-oriented architecture, or SOA.
So exactly what is a service-oriented architecture?
A service-oriented architecture is based upon the fact that a business process is comprised of a variety of business services. These business services today in companies are very often implemented by humans performing a task or by software performing a particular task. Very often in most companies, human beings actually are coordinating the flow of the work from task A to task B to task C. What a service-oriented architecture from IBM provides is, one, a methodology, which is the most important aspect of it, but also a set of software that enables us to be able to make these changes in a non-disruptive fashion. What we're able to do is, first of all, model the overall process by decomposing it down to its constituents, its individual business services that make up that overall process. Secondly, we can take the legacy functions that are performed in a variety of different IT systems or human workflow and standardize the interface from business service A to business service B to business service C using industry standards that have been adopted in the manufacturing industries for the business standards as well as industry standards for the technology standards. Once we create and extend an existing business service and publish the input and output to that service using these standards, we can then connect them together using software like the WebSphere Business Process Server or the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus and choreograph the overall flow of the work. In other words, the work can continue on using today's process, but we add an additional interface based on industry standards and then re-choreograph those and run them in parallel to the existing business process. And once that's deemed to be successful, the company can switch over to the new and improved business process and reap the benefits of that optimized process.
Okay, I think I understand SOA. Now, would it make sense to apply this methodology to PLM? I mean, what is it about PLM today that could benefit from a service-oriented architecture?
Today, most companies are using PLM products as tools, and engineers or manufacturing professionals and others within that enterprise are either using them individually and transferring information from one tool to another tool as the work flows through a process, or the company has invested to create point-to-point connections from tool A to tool B. But what we found is that most manufacturing companies, through the entire process from design to development, through manufacturing, through distribution, through product support, have either developed a large number of tools or purchased from other vendors, software vendors, a variety of tools. And almost every manufacturer we've worked with has a set of tools from a heterogeneous set of vendors, each with their own proprietary interfaces, each with their own proprietary messaging format and how they communicate. So much of the work is handled by the users of the tools or custom-built software. And unfortunately, over the years, the amount of custom-built software creating point-to-point connections between tools has created a very rigid structure for a particular business process, because changing the connection point from tool A to tool B is very difficult and very complex. And the systems are relatively fragile. In other words, it's very easy to cause an overall process to fail simply by making a change between two of the connections. So what we needed to do is come up with an approach to designing that business process to be much more flexible in order to accommodate changes much more readily.
Okay, so this is what led to the Product Development Integration Framework.
Yeah, the Product Development Integration Framework was designed specifically on this SOA foundation to enable application tools and work performed by humans to be choreographed specifically for the manufacturing industries.
John, you mentioned the SOA foundation. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, what we've done from an IBM perspective is we've created a set of SOA software, which we refer to as the SOA foundation. We're very prescriptive. This is a very precise definition for a set of products at a specific release level of the products, which we've designed to work together to enable SOA methodologies to be applied across multiple industries. Now, for each of 17 industries, what we are defining are a set of industry-specific business standards and a set of industry-specific technology standards that we are then applying to the SOA Foundation. So in the case of PLM for various manufacturing industries, we've defined a set of industry-specific standards for manufacturing, for exchanging information in a manufacturing industry, whether that information is being exchanged within a company between various services that comprise the business process, or if the information is being exchanged between companies who are business partners, where both companies are implementing part of an overall business process. So the framework that we're referring to is made up of the SOA Foundation set of software, a set of industry-specific specifications, which we're declaring to our business partners and to our clients, and a set of software that IBM and our business partners have developed and are making commercially available to our partners to be able to use.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. I know IBM uses business partners to implement PLM, but you're suggesting that they might play a bigger role with the product development integration framework. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the design of the product development integration framework and the selection of business partners all started with talking with our customers and finding out what they're using or what they plan to use and which companies are providers of application software that are important to them. And what we found is that in almost every case, these companies are choosing to buy products from multiple different vendors. So our strategy for building an ecosystem on PDIF and designing PDIF needed to be based on open standards because we had to integrate the products and integrate the information being exchanged between companies based on a set of open standards rather than the standards that are being implemented by any one individual company. Now, obviously, IBM has had a long history and a very successful history with Dassault Systèmes and many of their fine products, and we continue on with Dassault. But we also found that our clients are buying software from Agile Software, Centric Software, Ingenious Software, Geometric Software Solutions, MSC Software, ProStep, PTC, UGS, and others. And as such, it was extremely important that we figure out how can we make all these products work together, because each one of these products are performing one or more business services that are part of the overall PLM business process that have been implemented by these manufacturing companies.
So, John, I know that IBM just announced the product development integration framework in mid-December, but how real is it? Can companies use it right now?
Thanks for asking that question. It's really important. First of all, as I mentioned earlier, PDIF is based on the SOA Foundation of products, and we now have hundreds and hundreds of companies around the world that are using the SOA Foundation set of products to run their existing business processes in multiple industries. Secondly, each time we tailor the SOA Foundation set of products to a specific industry, we start with one or more companies in that industry to work with to tailor it. And as such, we've actually built PDIF with manufacturing companies. And we're at a state now where some of them have started to use it, so we have an initial set of companies who have used it very successfully. And we are in the process of expanding that partnership with a larger number of companies to further refine the capabilities of PDIF and be able to support an even larger ecosystem of business partners. So the bottom line is the base foundation technology for business process optimization using an SOA approach is well tested, and the products are in productive use in many companies around the world. The extensions specific to the manufacturing industry for exchanging data and others have been well developed in the standard industry. Those continue to evolve, though, and we plan to keep track of that as additional capabilities are added into the standards and get those implemented either by IBM or one of our business partners. And working with a variety of vendors, we've already connected in a set of ISV applications into this product, making it very attractive to companies who are today using it in production.
Wow, well, that's some cool stuff, John. It sounds like the product development integration framework could make quite an impact on the PLM landscape. John, thank you very much for taking time to be our guest today. We really appreciate your insight on this topic and hope to see you in a future podcast.
Thank you, Steve.
IBM Podcast.